In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you, each one of you, beloved by God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always found it interesting what the compilers of the Lutheran service book chose for him, 666. It was a hymn dealing with the devil, telling the little flock of Christ's sheep, the lambs of his redemption, to fear not the satanic foe. And you could tie this in with a mighty fortress is our God, because for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected, and neither the devil nor an unbelieving world can conquer Christ. Christ is victorious. He is crucified. He is risen, as we will acclaim in the Easter season. And in him, each of you have a new life. Each of you have a new citizenship, not merely as citizens of these United States, which is for this world only, but citizens of the kingdom of God. Your citizenship is in heaven, from which, as Paul says in tonight's reading, we await a Savior. Now, it's not like Jesus is locked up in heaven and we're just glancing at our watches, flipping the pages of the calendar, wondering when he will come back. Jesus promises to be with his people to the very end of the age. We are told that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is present for his church, for you, in his word and sacrament. He is present for you because in baptism, the Holy Spirit was placed upon you. You were baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, and that Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, keeps you in the true Christian faith as you faithfully hear the Word of God, faithfully receive the sacraments, faithfully confess your sins, and faithfully serve your neighbor, loving your neighbor as yourself, because God has first loved you in Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard of a guy named Paul? Saint Paul? Also known by his Hebrew name as Saul. Paul tells the Philippians and tells the church in tonight's reading to imitate him, and to keep our eyes on those who walk according to the example that we have in Paul and the other apostles. Now, Paul said he was the chief of sinners because he persecuted the church. He persecuted our Lord Jesus Christ. He was responsible for the death of many Christians. He was sent off to Antioch to arrest those who believed in Christ and confessed his name and bring them back to Jerusalem where they could be tried and be imprisoned. And possibly, had Paul been able to follow through with his plans, suffer death in Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, the city in which our Lord Jesus Christ died. But our Lord Jesus Christ, in his mercy, had other plans for Paul. He had chosen Paul to make him an apostle to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. He had chosen Paul to proclaim the gospel in its truth and purity without compromise. And the gospel is this, that you do not save yourself. You are not responsible for your salvation. You cannot accomplish the work of making yourself worthy in God's eyes of eternal life. That's the reality. But going on with this definition of the gospel, God has done the work of your salvation in Jesus Christ. There on the cross, before he died, Jesus said, "It is finished, it is accomplished, the debt for sin has been paid by my holy, innocent sufferings and death, and by the blood I shed." When Jesus said, "It is finished," that is an absolution. That is an announcement of forgiveness to you and to all who believe. It is a proclamation that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, took upon himself all the world's sins. You know, the bad stuff. The stuff that makes us cringe as we read the headlines. The stuff that we look back on in our lives and cringe. How could I have done such a thing? And even the sins of which you are not aware. Christ has taken them all away. And you are now children of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul sets himself forth as an example of one who received the grace of God in Jesus, of one who was justified by God's grace in Jesus. And I always feel the need to explain that word justified. So I know you've heard it before, but forgive me if I repeat it again, because after all, Christ has forgiven me for so many things, so why shouldn't you forgive me for repeating myself? To be justified does not mean that you have been made righteous. Because if you were made righteous, would you sin anymore? After all, God is the holy and righteous one. Jesus is called the righteous one of God. He was without sin. So forget that you have been made righteous. No. God has declared you to be righteous for Jesus' sake. God has declared you and me, the guilty ones, to be innocent because Jesus has taken our sins away. And the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. There's another fancy word. Has been credited to our account. And when God looks at you, he sees someone who in his eyes is holy for the sake of his Son. What a wonderful thing that is. What a relief that is to know that we don't have to do the work of saving ourselves. Although Paul does say to the church, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but he expands upon that when he goes on to say, for it is God who works within you. God the Holy Spirit, God the Father who sent his Son, God the Son who died for you. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Again, that refers to living as one who acknowledges and confesses your sin, your need of God's mercy, and has faith in God's free and full gift of forgiveness. But there were those in the early church like there are today, who think that the gospel is a license to sin. Here's a free pass. You may now do whatever you want to. Doesn't matter. Jesus died for you. So commit adultery, fornication, lie, steal, rob, cheat, slander your neighbor, dishonor your father and your mother, and forget about that fear, love, and trusting in God above all things. That is not what the life of faith is. That is not following the example of Paul and his apostles and those men and women who throughout church history have lived out their faith in their daily walk, in their daily works of service for the benefit of their neighbor and their reception of God's gracious and good gifts in the gospel. No, the gospel is not a license to sin. If we see it that way, then we lack faith in Christ. That's the pure and simple reality of things. No, as Christians, as those redeemed by the blood of Christ, we seek to glorify God in our lives. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may glorify," or "they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And it seems like I referenced that verse in last week's sermon. Maybe, maybe not. Who was paying attention anyway? Who was taking notes? We are to love and serve our neighbor. We who have been washed in the blood of Christ are now to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is our reasonable act of worship, Paul says. And so we have the commandments. How do you love and serve God? Well, you've got the table of duties in the catechism. But you also have the Ten Commandments, which describe what a life pleasing to God looks like. Now, when I say pleasing to God, I don't mean that such a life deserves God's gift of salvation. It is rather because God has saved and forgiven us that we strive to live a life pleasing to God. And so we have the commandments. Now, for the Christian, the commandments serve not merely as a mirror to show us our sin, although they do that, but the commandments also serve as a guide as to how we, the redeemed people of God in Christ Jesus, are to order our lives as the Holy Spirit leads and directs us. And as Christ, again quoting Paul, which may seem a strange thing to do, as Paul says, "It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Now, those who think that the gospel is a license to sin freely are described by Paul as enemies of the cross of Christ. They don't understand. They fail to appreciate the marvelous, unfathomable sacrifice that Jesus made there on the cross, as he suffered God's wrath in your place and mine. Now, Paul warns us, and again, this is the law here, that those who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ have as their end destruction Their God is their belly. They live for earthly things to satisfy all of their appetites. And their minds are set on earthly things. But you are here this evening. Hopefully, God grant, you're paying attention to this sermon. Otherwise, you know, I could be reading the Declaration of Independence. Your citizenship, and here comes the gospel, in contrast to those who are enemies of the cross of Christ, your citizenship is in heaven. Wow. You are American citizens. I don't believe we have any illegal aliens here, apart from Sue. And again, your citizenship as Americans will end the moment you draw your last breath. In heaven, there is not a section for Americans and another section for the English and the Germans and the French and the Russians, etc. And there isn't a section for Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists either. Now, your citizenship is in heaven. As an American, you enjoy certain privileges. You know, wonderful privileges for which we rightly thank God. But as a citizen of heaven, for Jesus' sake, look at the privileges you enjoy. Now, when you're dead, you won't be able to vote unless you're maybe from Chicago. But because of the forgiveness of Christ, because you have been redeemed, bought back from sin by Jesus' death and his resurrection, you do have eternal life. You do have a hope that at the end of your life, when the world ends, you will be welcomed by the Holy Trinity into the eternal, glorious presence of the triune God. And as Christians, we have this hope, this confidence. Paul calls it a sure and certain hope. From heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it's not like this is absent, locked up in heaven, you know, playing cards or texting on his phone. No, Jesus intercedes for you. Jesus prays for you, prays for his church. Jesus continues to pour out his gifts of grace and mercy and forgiveness to you, his dear beloved people, through the means of grace and baptism. And your baptism, yeah, it happened in the past. Many of you have a certificate that tells when you were baptized, but you weren't baptized, you are baptized, because the glorious gifts and effects of baptism are good for your entire life in this world. Again, you have the privilege of hearing the gospel. You have the privilege of receiving Jesus' true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. And these things are bestowed upon you, not because you're Americans, again, apart from Sue, who's an illegal alien, but because you are the people of God in Christ Jesus. From heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, these bodies that grow weak, these bodies that experience illness, these bodies that suffer from accidents, these bodies that die, these bodies that sometimes are instruments of sin, Jesus will transform your lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. To subject all things even to himself. That means Jesus is the victor. Jesus is king. Not just of our little community of Christians here. Not just of the Christian earth. The Christian church. But king of the earth. King of the universe. King of kings and Lord of lords. Paul wraps it up in tonight's reading by saying, therefore, my brothers, and this includes sisters too, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, because the Philippians were a joy to St. Paul. They so gladly received the gospel. They provided for his needs when he was in prison. Therefore, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved brothers and sisters. And stand firm you will. You will because of Jesus. Because you are a new creation in Christ. And because, empowered by the Holy Spirit, grateful for God's grace in Christ Jesus, you want to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and you know that it is Christ within you who enables you to do this. You live in this world through faith in Christ. And so identified are you with Jesus that it's like Paul says, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus your Savior. Amen.